I mentioned this several weeks ago that when you left Americans behind in Afghanistan, as Joe Biden did, you put every American life at risk around the world. I said, whether it was maybe, I'm trying to figure out the exact way I want to say this because I'm frustrated and I'm irritated with the headline I'm about to have to read you. And I want to have the premise before I read it to you so you understand how angry I am. You know, there was a don't screw with America mentality for ever since we got rid of Jimmy Carter and Ronald Reagan became president. There was a don't screw with us. The Iranian hostage crisis was a perfect example of that. Ronald Reagan becomes president and they let all the hostages go. Why? Because Ronald Reagan made it very clear, you don't screw with Americans. And for my entire lifetime, and I was born in 1981, there has been a sense that there's like a protective dome around you as an American citizen. That might be the best way I can describe it. There's a protective dome over you, and it's a dome that basically says, don't screw with me. Because I'm an American, if you screw with me as an American, you're screwing with America. And America will unleash holy hell on you if you screw with me as an American. It's the best way I can describe it. It's a don't screw with American citizens anywhere, at any point, any time. And I mentioned this. As soon as Afghanistan, the disaster there happened, the fact that we left Americans behind, I said, you got to understand what this means around the world. Okay, you have to understand what this means for Americans around the world. What this means is that we are no longer have that protective shield. There are people that looked at Americans and made smart decisions. Don't mess with them. Don't mess with them. Don't screw with them. It's not worth it. Do not mess with them. Do not screw with them. That's an American citizen. You don't kidnap them. You don't hold them for ransom. You don't target them. You don't kill them. You don't rob them around the world. Because if you do, it will be an international incident. And with the United States of America, you don't want to play that game. That all went away in an instant. That iron dome, for lack of a better thing to call it, that was around each and every American citizen, anywhere in the world, that all went away. When we realized, or when they realized, the bad guys realized, oh my gosh, it's game over. Oh my gosh, we can now, American citizens are no longer off limits. We can screw with them. We can take them on. We can go after them. We don't have to play by the, hey, where are they from, America? Look the other way, walk the other way, turn around and don't screw with them. Just look in Mexico, for example. In Mexico, they still have people that are held hostage and kidnapped for ransom, but you notice it's not Americans. Because even in Mexico, you talk to people that live there, you talk to people in the government there, which I have, they say the same thing I'm telling you right now. There is a do not screw with America because there will be hell to pay if you mess with American. They'll mess with citizens from other countries. They'll mess with citizens from other countries that are there, you know, basically with tourism. That's different. But Americans, they really leave alone because it's not worth it. Now, I said this several weeks ago, that there was going to be Americans in the near future that will probably be grabbed and they will be held for ransom. And that is something I've never experienced in my lifetime because it was a no-go zone before. But now that they know that they're dealing with an administration that is not going to protect, that is not going to defend American citizens, and hell, will even leave American citizens behind, now you know what's going on. Now you know what's happening. So let's fast forward to the headline that I don't want to read, but I have to. 17 Americans have been kidnapped, along with Canadian missionaries, by gang members in Haiti. apparently around Port-au-Prince. 17 missionaries from the United States and Canada, some of them children, minors, were kidnapped in Haiti on Saturday, according to, excuse me, the organization Christian Aid Ministries. The group of 16 U.S. citizens and one Canadian citizen, including 5 men, 7 women, and 5 children, read a statement released by the Ohio-based organization today. "We are seeking God's direction for a resolution. Authorities are seeking ways to help," they said. An investigation is ongoing, according to a source in Haiti's security forces, but who attributed the kidnapping to local gang members. Haitian officials say are in touch with the U.S. State Department about the kidnapping, the country's foreign minister said this afternoon. The missionaries were traveling by vehicle Saturday north of the capital of Port-au-Prince after visiting an orphanage in one of the local areas. They were abducted along the route between the two places, clearly organized and pre-planned. One of the abducted missionaries, an American citizen, posted a call for help in a WhatsApp group as the kidnapping was occurring. The Washington Post reported, quoting a person familiar with the abduction who spoke on the condition of anonymity. Quote, unquote, "Please pray for us. We're being held hostage. They kidnapped our driver. Pray, pray, pray. We don't know where they are taking us." It's unclear whether the message was a video or a text sent to the WhatsApp group, and there is no information on the WhatsApp group itself in the Washington Post reporting. Spokesman for the State Department said, "It is aware of these reports." Quote, "The welfare and safety of U.S. citizens abroad is one of the highest priorities of the Department of State." Well, that used to be true. It's not anymore. And if you need proof of what is happening under the Biden administration, look at Afghanistan and now look at Port-au-Prince. Do I believe that this kidnapping would have taken place if Joe Biden would have done something different in Afghanistan? I believe it would have been different. Why do I believe that? Because it wasn't happening before. And I told you, this was the outcome of what happens when you have a weak president. This is the outcome of what happens when you have a president that leaves Americans behind. This is the outcome for other Americans probably moving forward around the world, because American lives are worth a lot if you can get away with it. And right now, they believe that you can get away with it. When the State Department comes out and the State Department says that American lives are a top priority, the people that took these Americans in Haiti are laughing, because they know it's not true. They know it's a lie. They know it's not true because the proof is what happened and how many Americans we left behind in Afghanistan. And if you think this is going to stop, unfortunately, it probably will not. Because American lives are worth a lot, and when you have a government that won't stop and fight to get you, this is what happens. It is very clear there are consequences to having a failed foreign policy. And those consequences are costing people their safety and quite possibly their lives around the world. We know about the lives and the safety of people that were in Afghanistan that are American citizens. We know about what has happened to many of them after we abandon them. It's a massive problem. It's a huge problem. We also know that Americans who used to feel like that they were safe, that they had a protective dome around them, was also very real. And the reason why it was very real is because there was a do not screw with us mentality. That's what it was. It was a do not screw with us mentality. If you were an American citizen, don't screw with us. If you are an American citizen, we are not to be abducted. And if you do abduct us or kill us or kidnap us or try to hold us for ransom, whatever it is, there will be hell to pay. That is now gone. That is now absolutely vanished. It is over. It is gone. You can kiss it goodbye. And what we are witnessing right now with these Americans is horrific. These are missionaries doing literally God's work. And if you don't think that they were abducted because they knew, this gang knew, that there was a very good chance they could get paid now because of who the president is, because he knows that Joe Biden's not going to come out there and open up a can on them, he's not going to bomb them, he's not going to come after them. That's why they did this. That's the only reason why they did it. And there's a hell of a lot of reasons, okay, why they should have, by the way, they didn't do this in the past. And it's the same things. It wasn't worth the risk, right? It wasn't worth the risk before. The risk reward was just different. I'll go back to, what was it? Oh gosh, Diaz, it's going to drive me nuts. The American, there was a movie made about it, and Diaz, if you'll try to find the name, because it's going to drive me insane. Tom Hanks played the guy on the ship. And they took that ship hostage. They boarded that ship. They held him at gunpoint. Right in this part of the world, by the way. And what happened? America showed up and America blew all of them away. They blew them away. And the reason why they blew them away is pretty simple. You don't screw with Americans. And you sure as hell don't take Americans hostage. You don't screw with Americans. You don't take them hostage. Americans are off limits. Plain and simple. And if you think they aren't, we'll remind you that they are off limits. And that is exactly what we now know is very clear. That's why we did that. That's why the Americans won. That's the reason why they made a movie about it. You screw with Americans on a ship and you try to hold that ship ransom and we will come in and we will unleash holy hell on you. We don't play around. You fast forward to 2021 and now it's totally the opposite of that. You come in now, it's the total opposite. And now Americans, just like this headline clearly shows, it is open season. And when the State Department says the, quote, welfare and safety of U.S. citizens abroad is one of the highest priorities, the terrorists, the kidnappers, the gang members, they all know that's a lie. Quote, we're aware of these reports and have nothing additional offered this time. Well, that's probably the most accurate statement I've ever heard. According to a senior U.S. official familiar with the situation, the U.S. does not know the current location of the kidnapped missionaries, we're being told. The FBI and the State Department officials are working around the clock to secure the release of Americans, the official said. Canadian officials are also working with local authorities and NGOs to gather information, a spokesman for the Global Affairs Canada told CNN. They're not afraid of us anymore. American lives are worth a lot, but apparently they're not worth a lot to this president. That might be the best way I can say it. They're worth a lot on the black market. They're worth a whole heck of a lot on the black market. Imagine how much money you can get in Haiti if you've got 16 Americans, some of them children, and one Canadian. Somebody's willing to pay. If this administration won't go get them, somebody's going to pay them. It may be that we go through Canada because Canada will negotiate with terrorists, unlike us. Actually, we do now, right? We did with the Taliban, with Bo Bergdahl, which put a bunch of American lives at risk. We will. 100%. We will negotiate with terrorists. This administration put that precedent out there with a Bo Bergdahl swap. We negotiated with terrorists, plain and simple. That's what we did. And now you have Americans that are out there, and Americans are worth a lot of money. And if you have the American government that won't stop it, which clearly they're not, and you left those Americans behind in Afghanistan, which sent the picture, it's a different day with the U.S. government. Don't be afraid of us anymore. It's open season on Americans. Kidnap them. You might make a lot of money. You might make a lot of cash. You might make some serious bank. That's why they did this. Clearly, this was choreographed, right? Clearly, this attack was pre-planned. You don't think they had the conversation in Haiti about this when it was going down? Right? You don't think that they had that conversation? They did. They had that conversation. They had a very real conversation about that. They had a very real conversation. We don't value American lives. I'm talking about the Biden administration. They don't. Prove me wrong, by the way. Seriously, prove me wrong and tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong. Show me where the Biden administration, any point since they've been in charge, has valued the life of an American citizen. They don't value your lives as American citizens, even protecting you from quote-unquote COVID, from illegal immigrants coming across the border. You want proof of it? I'll give you proof. Here's another headline for you. 16,000. COVID-19 positive migrants have been released in the U.S. by ICE, says a new whistleblower. You think they care about you? They don't. They do care about gaining control and power over you using COVID, but they don't care about actually protecting you from COVID. And the proof is now this whistleblower who says more than 16,000 migrants who tested positive for COVID-19 while in Immigration and Customs Enforcement custody were released into the United States, according to an agency law enforcement source. The Biden administration did not mandate any of the migrants to be vaccinated before the release. The source informs Breitbart, Texas, that the figures only include those migrants who were tested by ICE. Many of them are not. The source, not authorized to speak to the media, says the migrants range from infants to the elderly. A Department of Homeland Security document reviewed report the oldest released migrants were over 85 years old. Nearly 1,300 were under the age of 10. Nearly 12,000 of the migrants who tested positive for COVID-19 and were released in the United States of America were between the age of 18 and 40 years of age. Don't believe for a moment this administration cares about you, cares about your family, cares about your parents, cares about your grandparents, cares about your safety. And every time they put another mandate on you and they tell you that they're doing this for your own good, to protect you and to keep you safe, remind them that nearly 12,000 of the migrants who tested positive for COVID-19 were released into the United States of America. 11,800 of them were men. 1,300 were under the age of 10. More than 6,000 were between the age of 20 and 29 years old. According to the source, the release occurred in multiple cities across the United States of America. You could refer to these as super spreader events, to use Dr. Fauci and the White House's favorite words. When did this happen? Between January 2021 and early October. The totals, by the way, do not include the thousands of untested migrants released directly by the Border Patrol. Those numbers are separate. Every one of you, by the way, you have a job, a duty to let your fellow man know what I'm telling you right now, because the mainstream media is not covering this. So make sure that you grab our podcast and share it. Share all of this information. Share it with your family. Share it with your friends. Put it on social media. It is important because the media is not going to tell you this. Not only do the totals not include the thousands of untested migrants released by Border Patrol, but the Border Patrol testing of migrants has been limited exclusively, from what we've now been told, to unaccompanied migrant children, later turned over to the Department of Health and Human Services, known as HHS. The Border Patrol, we've also been told, relied on non-government organizations to test migrants after their release from detention. Many of those migrants were later released to quote-unquote self-quarantine. Sure, that's going to work. At hotels within border cities in the U.S. The source says the positive test did not factor in the decision to release either. Quote, with the pace of referrals from the Border Patrol, we tested, made the migrants aware, and released them to avoid increasing the detained population. So it was churn and burn, folks. Oh, we got a problem at the border, and it's looking bad on TV. We'll just start releasing them faster into the United States of America, and apparently that will just fix everything. That will just make everything better, apparently. So just hurry up and get rid of them. Oh, you think the president cares about the rules he's trying to put on you? And, hey, you may or may not be able to have Christmas. President Joe Biden, he plays by a different set of rules, folks. He has the rules that are on TV, and then he has the rules in real life that he follows, right? He's been busted just like all the other mainstream liberal Democrats out there. Busted. Not wearing a mask when he was supposed to be. Biden was caught red-handed on video over the weekend wearing a mask at a swanky D.C. restaurant. I'm sorry, just kidding. Not wearing a mask at a swanky D.C. restaurant. Violating Washington, D.C.'s city mask mandate. President Joe Biden caught red-handed on video not wearing a mask while walking inside of this swanky restaurant in D.C. violating the city's mask mandate. The president and the first lady dined at the Michelin star restaurant Saturday night. The extravagant restaurant's cuisine is inspired by Italy's coastlines and the bounty of its most pristine seafood. The restaurant sells an ounce of their caviar for $250. Photos and videos show Biden not wearing a mask while walking through the restaurant. It's very clear. It's there. He's waving and smiling at people, not wearing his mask. One woman put up on social media, 48 hours in D.C. and look who I ran into. And it's a picture of Joe Biden, no mask on. Another one put out a video going, wow, Joe Biden walking through an expensive Washington, D.C. restaurant without a mask, violating D.C.'s mask mandate. So much for leadership. President Biden leaving the restaurant after date night with the first lady who ducked out moments before as he looked to triage some selfie requests. There's been a mask mandate in effect in D.C. since July 31st, so you can't tell me that a guy who's the president of the United States of America who lives in Washington, D.C. and has lived there since July 31st didn't know about this. The Fiola Mare restaurant states on its website, quote-unquote, masks are required. Per D.C. guidance and D.C. mayor's executive order, all individuals over 2 are required to wear a mask indoors regardless of vaccination status. Masks must be always worn while in our restaurants except while eating and drinking. Thank you for understanding. It's on their website. Go right now. Look at it. Masks required at all times except while eating and drinking regardless of vaccination status. Thank you. It's up on their social media accounts as well. The same day that the city's mask mandate went into effect, don't forget, Washington, D.C.'s Mayor Bowser broke her own mask mandate rule to officiate a wedding at a 4-star hotel in the city as well. Biden joins a long list of Democrats now flouting their own COVID-19 mandates that are supposed to save your life. Democrats now on the list who broke their own coronavirus guidance demands. You ready for this? And don't tell me they care about you. Don't tell me that this isn't just about total power over your life. Don't tell me this is about your safety any longer. It's not. California Governor Gavin Newsom, busted. Rhode Island Governor, busted. Michigan Governor Whitmer, busted. San Francisco Mayor Breed, busted. Chicago Mayor Lightfoot, busted. Austin Mayor Adler, busted. Denver Mayor Hancock, busted. San Jose Mayor busted. Biden's special envoy on climate change, John Kerry, busted. Senator Dianne Feinstein, busted. Los Angeles County Supervisor put in their mask mandate, busted. All of the people I just listed put their own mask mandates out there, and all of them have been busted not wearing their mask where they're supposed to be. They don't care about protecting you. They don't care. You're going to do what we tell you to do because we're in charge and you're not. We're going to tell you what you can and cannot do because we're going to force you into submission and we are going to silence you at all costs. We're in charge. You're not. We are in charge and you are not. We get to tell you what you can and cannot do. We get to tell you everything that you can and cannot do. We are the ones. They get to dictate your life, when you can eat, where you can eat, who you can eat with. That's right. Who you can eat with. That's what we get to do. Because we are the Democratic Party. We live by a different set of rules while we dictate to you and we silence you. We shut you up. We tell you that you can basically go to you know where. That's what we do. You think about this president. You think about what I just told you. You think about the fact that this president has no problem flouting his own mandates. And you have to ask yourself a question, why? Because it's not about your safety. If it was, they'd close the borders down. If it was, they wouldn't release. As we know, all of these COVID-19 positive patients are positive individuals coming across the border. Again, 16,000 COVID-19 positive migrants have been released in the U.S. by ICE. That's the federal government doing that under the Biden administration. And why is the media not throwing this in the face of the president of the United States of America going, hey, what the hell is wrong with you? Why are you doing this? Why are you allowing this to happen? That's the conversation that we should be having right now. The media would be going insane if Donald Trump would have done this. If Donald Trump would have done this, and by the way, I'll give you another example where they just don't care about you. Have you know about all the supply chain issues and the empty shelving and running out of basic goods and having the issues at the port? Mayor Pete, he's our transportation secretary, he's been on paternity leave. Quote unquote, I'm not going to apologize for taking care of our twins. That's right. Mayor Pete on paternity leave. I'm not going to apologize for taking care of our premature twins. Secretary of Transportation, Mayor Pete, had enough time to come out on Sunday on CNN's State of the Union and say, I will not apologize to anyone for going on fraternity leave. Sanctimonious anchor Jake Tapper asks, this is the first time you've been on the show since you and your husband welcomed twins in your family. You just returned from paternity leave with Congress, which Congress is debating right now. Some conservatives have been citing your experience in an effort to mock the idea of paternity leave. Take a listen, he says, and he plays some of it. Of course, Mayor Pete says, I'm not apologizing. Why would I apologize? Take a listen to this softball question from Jake Tapper at CNN.
This is the first time you've been on the show since you and your husband, Chasten, welcomed twins, Penelope and Joseph, into your family. You just returned from paternity leave, which Congress is debating right now. Some conservatives have been citing your experience in an effort to mock the very idea of paternity leave. Take a listen.
Pete Buttigieg has been on leave from his job since August after adopting a child. Paternity leave, they call it, trying to figure out how to breastfeed. No word on how that went.
What's your response?
As you might imagine, we're bottle feeding and doing it at all hours of the day and night. And I'm not going to apologize to Tucker Carlson or anyone else for taking care of my premature newborn infant twins. The work that we are doing is joyful, fulfilling, wonderful work. It's important work. And it's work.
By the way, I'm just going to stop here for 2 seconds and say this. I have twins. I did every feeding with my wife when we had the twins. Literally every feeding at every hour of the night when they were born. And it was hard and exhausting. And I took a total of 5 days off from doing my show each and every day and doing my TV work, funny enough, at CNN. The idea that I should have gotten 2 months of paid leave is insane. Now, my wife, totally different. Birthing twins, C-section, complications. Yeah, taking care of them, absolutely. I'm in favor of that. I'm in favor of maternity leave for women who birth the children. You want to give men a week? Hell, 2 weeks? Okay, let's have that conversation. But then let's talk about the transportation secretary. The transportation secretary is a cabinet member. We have a crisis with transportation in this country right now. We have a backlog of an insane number of things that actually need to be done. And we have a backlog of shipping, backlog at the ports, and we have a total breakdown of the system. A system, by the way, that we are being warned is going to collapse. If you don't want to do that job right now, then resign. I've got twins. You don't need 2 months off, bro. Especially when you have an extremely important job like the job of the transportation secretary in the middle of a crisis. This idea, as he says, well, you know, it's very fulfilling. It is. It's very rewarding. It is. It's a very joyous time. It is. It's exhausting. Yes. Is it hard to do? Yes. Bottle feeding all hours of the night, not one but two kids, putting them down, getting them up, putting them back down. You know, when they cry, they wake each other up. The list goes on and on. I understand it. I've done it. It is the hardest thing I've ever done in my entire life. Ask anybody that knows me. It is the hardest thing I've ever done having twins. It's rewarding. It's incredible, but it's hard. But if you're the transportation secretary, you don't get 2 months off, bro. This is what wokeism sounds like. It's absurd. Be a real man. I'm going to say it again. Be a real man. Man up and do your damn job. And if you can't handle that job or you think it's a lower priority to you than actually going to work, I can respect that. Quit your job. Find somebody else that can do your job. But this is exactly why I'm not in favor of men getting 2 months of paid leave. It's insane. If you birth the child, it's different. Now, I understand that Mayor Pete is wanting to experience all of this. I do. I can respect that. But he can afford to get part-time help. He can afford to get a night nurse. He can afford to get a nanny if he wants to. And it doesn't mean that you're not involved in your kid's life. Trust me, I know. When there's two of them, you're involved whether you like it or not. You're heavily involved. There's two of them. Two of them need to be fed. Two of them need to be burped. Two of them need to be rocked to sleep. Two of them need to be fed. Two of them need to be burped. Two of them need to be changed. The list goes on and on. But if you want to know why this country is going to hell in a handbasket, it's because of this. This is how unfocused this administration is. They're unfocused on protecting with the southern border. They're unfocused on actually protecting when it comes to the Delta variant and COVID-19. They're unfocused about protecting Americans around the world, the missionaries in Haiti. And they're unfocused about the day-to-day things that deal with transportation, the livelihoods of American citizens going into the Christmas holidays. Because it's all about your feelings with them. It's not about reality. And Mayor Pete is a perfect example of that. I'll say it again. make sure you share our podcast. This needs to be heard by everyone. You need to know the real story and the real facts behind all of this. So make sure you subscribe to our podcast, share our podcast,